Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. I'm here until the hour of 11. As always, that is an hour and a half of just the pure, well, humor, not me doing, talking about anything else, but, something serious. Now, I do have to first, apologize to those of you guys that have been enjoying my live stream for a while now. Thank you very much. Don't worry, it's not dead. It's just that I kind of sort of, forgot to charge my phone. And now the battery is just too low for me to do any kind, to do any live stream. So, Namibia. I'm so proud of us. We won 3-0. Lesotho, we have to apologize. But look, I'm actually, celebrating because we never actually win. Like, our record is known for either losing or drawing. So every time that we win, even the people that are not interested in sports, especially soccer in the way, in the same way that sports enthusiasts do, like yours truly here, sports is not really my thing. Has never been my thing. I tried it in high school. I enjoyed more, martial arts. Oh, my, it's still my favorite. And, long distance running, still my favorite. So jogging, I do jogging like, a lot. I like, soccer itself, or just basically netball, football, whatever type of sport, netball, football, and, volley. Never been mine. Martial arts, my favorite. Taekwondo, excelente. Now you are looking at, Angola is, busy causing trouble there. Turns out Malawi is not Namibia. But Angola did manage to win with a goal to nothing. You have Namibia there enjoying, Donald Trump must be so proud of us, because it turns out he doesn't like Lesotho. And Namibia was like, relax, Donald Trump, we'll take your feet. Then we ran into Lesotho. 3-0. It turns out we can also, do a little bit of tricks here and there. So congratulations, land of the brave. Congratulations. 3. Okay. Now we have, Mozambique and Zimbabwe. Mozambique is like, collect two. South Africa and Mauritius. Cheers. Comoros and Botswana. Madagascar and Eswatini. They drew. Okay. Here's the thing. Guys, this is where I go back to what one gentleman pointed out, with regards to the Nakavila boxing that took place in the US. That, our sportsmen here in Namibia, our sportsmen here in Namibia are actually really strong. They are stronger than we give them credit. They're actually stronger they are stronger than a lot of the opponents they face. The problem is, especially, this is something that I learned with rugby players last year. Or was that last year about Oyego? I think it was last year. Now, those guys have 8-5 jobs. And they still managed to qualify for World Cup. So when everyone was like, they're supposed to do this, I'm like, come on, seriously. These guys are facing opponents whose literally day-to-day activity has to do with the sports they play. And then you have someone who now has to spend, 8 hours in the office trying to listen to all of you complain, and then make time just shortly after that with a crazy boss who has sometimes tells them, you know what, you have to work late. I'm sorry about your practice. And then when the practice comes, they have to, you know, they're also told, well, you actually have to choose between, between working here, which is your main source of income, or you, I mean, go for your World Cup. In that case, then I will replace you. Like, that's depressing. Actually, if you look at other countries, that's not how sport is done. Like, that's not how it's done. It's just here, if not amongst other African countries. So, if someone has a talent in other countries, that talent is nurtured, and so that person can only focus, or those people can only focus on the talent they are being nurtured for, the talent that they actually have. What you're just doing as a coach is more like helping them realize the potential, because sometimes it's very easy to have a talent and not realize just how much you can do with it. The thing with talent is that you cannot put talent into an individual. A lot of football players that you know, maybe they trained, but those ones that are just, you can just see that this is genius level. Take Michael Jackson, for example. Now, for the flexibility and basically the passion that came with Michael Jackson's passion for music, you can't train that into someone. Someone will have to be born with a certain talent. That's why other countries, they actually value talent, because they know you cannot train talent into someone. So, once you find someone that's talented, don't let them go. Because, people that are talented have a discipline problem. Ronaldinho had an issue with his coach every now and then, bro, not show up for training and would party with women and a lot of alcohol the whole weekend, maybe the whole week on end. I mean, he had the money. He still does. Has the money, at least I hope. But then with all that disciplinary problems, when it was a time for a match, he left all the parties, left all the disciplinary issues out of the pitch, got on the pitch and performed some magic. Everyone was like, holy cow, how does he do that? One thing he points out that, for those of you that think I was freakishly good, you only saw the performance part, but the practice that perfected the performance was a very sweaty one. And he's right. And, man had a point. Okay. I'm so proud of us. Granted, we're still playing matches outside the country, including home ones, but hey. Today I am going to complain a lot about whatever group of people that wrote history books for African history books. First of all, you guys need electrocution. And some parts that does not feel very holy to be kicked. If I rise to power, each and every one that wrote a history book, that is supposed to be, that's supposed to portray or more like show African history. And it's filled with a bunch of Austrian and Italian guys. Oh yeah, if I catch you. Plenty blood go flow. Plenty blood go flow. That's because I like history. I like reading. Now, every time that I just try to find a documentary or a PDF or any source of African history, I'm always shocked, at the topics that I run into, and I can't help but ask myself, how the heck didn't I learn this in school? Like, why? Just why? Adolf Hitler and the invasion of Poland. I don't care. I'm in Africa. Africa, the continent that we have here, has its own history. Please, before I find out the invasion of Yugoslavia, let me find out who invaded who here. Now, then I realize that the reason why a bunch of African, history writers, I think I have a sneaky suspicion one of the reasons why they don't write a lot of African history, at least the correct African history, is because it's quote unquote sensitive. Let me explain. It's quote unquote sensitive. Take for example, if you were in DRC and you want to write a book about if you are in DRC and you want to write a book about Patrice Lumumba, that book is going to have run into some hurdles here and there, especially if you want to write the truth. Come to Namibia and please write a book about Anton Lobosky. Same problemo. Go to South Africa and write a book about Chris Hani. Same problemo. That's when I came to that. Oh, no wonder these guys loaded our African history books with a lot of Italian and German crap. Sorry, Germans. But the point is, the Austrian idiot that I keep reading about each and every single day of my life when I was in high school, first of all, did not like me. Because of the, physical features that the idiot himself didn't have. Blue eyes and blonde hair. He didn't have any of that. He was inferior race. No, it wasn't. They can also have diarrhea, just like every one of us. Not talking from experience, of course. But the point is, I think because, I think the whole nonsense of, we are the biggest enemy, as Africans, we are the biggest enemy of our own, of our own history. In terms of documentation, in terms of preservation, we are the biggest enemy. We don't like writing it down. Because, writing something down is going to raise a lot of very uncomfortable questions for a lot of very powerful people. You see, this right here is why I decided to do comedy. Because I get to talk about things that will make, it's one of those things that makes all my colleagues go like, away, please don't teach about. Now, because they've had training in media on things that you're supposed to talk about to sound as professional and politically correct, that's not what we do in comedy. In comedy, we cook. That's what we do. We just put you on a frying pan and then turn you around, left, right, and center. Now, why am I bringing this up? It's because of this gentleman called Thomas Sankara. We have now, a lot of us have heard of Thomas Sankara and the betrayal of his childhood friend and right hand man. It's called betrayal because betrayal is usually usually refers to something terrible done to you by someone, by the least person, by the person that you least expected to do it. The guy, the person that you rely on with every fiber of your being, turns around and does the exact same thing you were worried it was going to be done to you by others. Like that is you. That was like one of the defenses you had in place. And then turns around and backstabs you. Now, make I get you the just a very short. Now, one part that I have never heard of until yesterday of the betrayal of Thomas Sankara is the cascading, problems and how it impacted the, the citizens of Burkina Faso on the ground, especially the 600 orphans, mostly from underprivileged backgrounds, that Thomas Sankara sent to Cuba for technical and basically education, more like to gain education and skills that will help that will help build Burkina Faso to sort of like be a developing more like a developed country, both development wise, education wise, skills wise. You're talking about pretty much everything that a leader puts in place. You know who did that and pulled it off because they were not assassinated? Lim Kuan Yew. the first Prime Minister of Singapore. One of those first things that he did when he came to office was find out what skills does my country need and which country can I befriend so that I can send my people to this country for them to gain these skills. And he was successful. He managed to identify, now this was, Lim Kuan Yew, he managed to identify the skills that were needed in Singapore, managed to gather the people that actually, the people on merit, not on knowing a guy who knows a guy, on merit managed to gather the people that, that qualified to be sent to go and gain these skills. He sent them all across the world, they gathered the skills, and look at Singapore now. It's one of those countries that is like the size of Windhoek, but it's a thriving, it's a multi, it's one of the global financial hubs. One of, if not the biggest in Asia. It turns out, now, imagine my pain when I found out that what I have been reading about Lim Kuan Yew and looking at Singapore today was done by an African, and that African was backstabbed by his childhood friend and right-hand man. Now, before you start saying, oh, no, this is only a black people thing, there's a video that you can find on YouTube. But the problem why I don't direct people to YouTube these days is AI is going wild. Unless you can tell the difference. Yesterday I came across a video on TikTok of Noah speaking pidgin English. Oh yeah, come on for the boat now. Come on, come on, come on. I like, hey. I mean, it's funny. Don't get me wrong, it's funny. But artificial intelligence is going really far on this one. And I came across one where Daniel was now in, Daniel was now chilling in the lion's den, and then came out the next day and told the kid, now he's just having a serious conversation with the girls, like, what the heck is going on here? But anyway, that story of the 600, 600 orphans, of the 600 orphans that were sent to Cuba. Actually, that story is also going to give you a newfound respect for Cuba. Believe me, if you have a friend like Cuba, never let them go. I'll run you through the story on the other side of the break. If you just tuned in, I may be very good at hiding the fact that I'm a comedian, but I actually am. Now, the difference is, instead of telling you jokes about who slept with who, I tell you jokes about who backstabbed who. So kind of like the same thing, but one is in the bedroom, the other one is in politics. I'm so proud of me. And don't worry, my listener, I'm also so proud of you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM, and this is a comedy show. Now let's look at one of the biggest backstabbing on the planet. If you think, usually when we talk about backstabbing, we talk about, yeah, you know what, he slept with my girlfriend, or she slept with my boyfriend, or these days it's, it can be anything. You'll hear a guy complaining, oh, you know what, she slept with my wife, and you'll be like, wait, what? And you hear a girl complaining, you know what, he slept with my boyfriend. I was like, huh? Slept with the owner? And as far as I know, African traditional courts are yet to reach a point where they will actually resolve that type of, that kind of marital dispute. Because usually when there is an infidelity, is the husband cheating on the wife or the wife cheating on the husband. But welcome to the 21st century. Now, the husband cheating on the wife with another woman, or the wife... Yeah, the husband cheating on the wife with another woman, or the wife cheating on the husband with another man. But in the 21st century, anything now possible, or yeah, anything. I'd be hearing the madam saying, oh my God, he's cheating on me. I found out. Okay, who is that bleep? Huh? Who is she? Actually, well, that's part of the problem. It's a he. Come again. That's actually what every African traditional authority will be like. Say what now? He cheated on you with who? You know, there's this guy that they're always saying that they're just friends. See, it turns out they're, huh? You gotta love the 21st century. This is why, this is why I like, this is why I like the rush hour. This is why I agree with a bunch of guys that are saying that the reason why rush hour 4 cannot come out is because a lot of people these days are too politically cringy. But don't worry. We shall clear that. Because here on Mind the Gap, we cook everyone. Black, white, tall, fat, short, thin, gay, straight. We don't care. That's the point. And I am so offended. That's the problem. I don't care. Are you a misogynist? No, I'm a comedian. I make fun of women too. You all wanted gender equality. You protested, remember? Now you're equal. Now we can cook you too. And then you have LGBTQ. We want to be treated equal, and then you cook them. Then you have a bunch of people, a bunch of people for, and you have this basically from any community. You'll be like, that was very insensitive. Really? You must have missed the part where the guy saying it said he's a comedian. Yeah, but I didn't find it funny. Excellent. Thank you very much for rephrasing it that way. You didn't find it funny, so shut up. Now, which one of you found it funny? Us. Congratulations. Bravo. Moving on. And, backstabbing times. Actually, backstabbing, talk time. Back in 2022, ex-Burkina Faso President Blaise Compaoré apologized to the family of Thomas Sankara. Now, in July of 2022, now this was actually written about by the entire Western mainstream media. And according to Reuters, Burkina Faso's former president Blaise Compaoré has, apologized to the family of his predecessor Thomas Sankara, who in 1987 murdered a military court found him complicit in. Back in 2022. This is a tricky thing about reading something that is suggesting. Okay, I've been reading history, so it's not a problem. So, the court found Blaise Compaoré complicit in the murder and in the coup and murder of Thomas Sankara, his childhood friend and right hand man. This was in 2022. Now, imagine if this court made this ruling when he was in office.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Mukungu lelewa tuko maikuto amina apidi kwa mavuchaziva. Mvele kisema app ato kasi.
So, long story short, two children were born just around the same time, and they grew up together, went to school together, became very good friends, and then they had, you know, more like similar ambitions when it comes to the democratization and more like acquiring more like economic and political independence of their country. Now, what happened was one of the friends wanted independence for the people, and the other one, at the end of the day, wanted independence for him, his homies, and, well, his family members. And then that's when there was now a subsequent fallout. And basically in terms of the goals they wanted to achieve in life. Thomas Sankara wanted independence for the entire Burkina Faso. Blaise Compaoré wanted independence for him and his homies and screwed everyone. And his point of view was, you know what, screw everyone else. That sounds like a lot of politicians in Africa today. I'll need bodyguards after this. And yeah. Now, after, you know, after that fallout, obviously, you know, there was a coup back in 1986, I believe. No, 1987. Yeah, I mean, there was a coup that led to the overthrow of Thomas Sankara and then his assassination. Now, why do we have this type of subsequent events taking place? Because, you remember, Patrice Lumumba, the exact same thing happened. There was a coup and then assassination. For you to understand why that is more often the case, especially when it comes to power, you really have to understand. And now you should read up, one of the most brutal power move in the history of mankind. And that happened in Russia. And that is the fall of the Romanov, of the Romanov royal family. That was during the Russian Revolution, I believe. There's a part of that is sort of like featured in there's just a snippet of that in Game of Thrones, just a snippet of it, where King Joffrey, where like the Lannister family is under threat, and King Joffrey is managed to escape, and then one of the guys that found him wanted to hand him over, and then he managed to explain to the guy that, look, you have to understand that the way things work in power circles is that once you overthrow a royal family, every member of that royal family must be killed to make sure that there is no future revenge. That's the reason behind the brutal murder of the Romanov family, because this is a family of kids. Some of them were teenagers who were taken in the basement, I think, and they were told, you know what, we are taking you to a safe place, and then only to see a bunch of guys that showed up with guns, and they were shot down, and because they were hiding a lot of jewelries in their pockets, basically on them, some of the bullets did not actually go through. So it took them a very, how do I put this? They were not dying faster than, than a bunch of, than the shooters thought they were, so they had to resort to bayonet. You'll have to look that up on your own, because the whole story is very gory. But that's unfortunately what power is. And if you see again the exact same thing with the rise of Claudius, the Roman Empire. How did Claudius rise to power? It's Claudius survived because a bunch of Roman guys stormed the castle and killed pretty much everyone, thanks to the domestic and foreign policy of his nephew, Caligula, aka the Mad King. This is also part of the problem, because someone explained to me why I know all this bunch of things about the Romans and not enough about Africans. Again, down to the writers. Now, You see, the exact same thing. The only reason why Claudius survived is because he was, what you'd classify today as an, you know, disabled. So he was, everyone was like, you know what, just, let that guy be. So then he rose to power and then he, you know, married his niece and, you know, he was poisoned by his niece / wife so that his nephew / stepson can take over power, and then Nero take over, you know, son took over power, and after taking over power decided, you know what, mommy is disturbing my power too much. I'll just hire a bunch of hitmen to go and kill mommy, and he did the exact same thing. And it is said that now that is basically the death of yours truly, Agrippina, the younger or the older. I don't know which one is which. It is none of my business. How you turn, how you transition the whole thing from niece and uncle to sweetheart and husband and wife is beyond me. Turns out, according to the Romans, that was perfecto. And by the way, marry each other's relatives has been used in a lot of royal families across the planet to keep power in the family. Now, for those of you that ask themselves, what are powerful people willing to do to keep power in the family? Or they're willing to sleep with pretty much anyone they're related to so that power remains in the family. Jesu. Yeah. By the way, that's not a European thing only. Cleopatra the 14th or whatever that is, when she came to power, the one that was known by Mark Antony and Julius Caesar, actually it was Julius Caesar's nickname for Cleopatra, woman with a golden mouth. Don't look that up, please, for the sake of your sanity. And, I'm a comedian, I have a dirty mind, so I decided to look it up. Now, let's just say, that's emanating from the fact that it is alleged that that Egyptian woman of Greek origin, her head game was top-notch. That was uncalled for. But anyway, the thing about, that's actually where you see, from the Roman, for example, and the, Caligula, the fall of Caligula and the rise of Claudius in Rome example. When you look at that, you realize that everyone that threatens power, you realize that when they kicked out of power, it's like that's not enough. They have to kill them. Because, well, if you don't kill them, they're just going to reorganize and then come back. So power move-wise, it makes a lot of sense to base, you know, according to Nigerians, just to, you know, to Nigerians to just, you know, to just par the guy. Oh, dear. Now, in 2022, after 27 years, after 27 years of power, because, Blaise Compaoré, after the betraying and participating in the murder of his friend, took over his friend's job. If you think your friend is taking over your girlfriend, or taking over your girlfriend is bad enough, you know, wait until you read the story of Thomas Sankara and Blaise Compaoré. Bro went on, backstabbing, disturbing, unstabbing, all type of stabbing. He did it to his friend. So backstabbed his friend and then took over his job, and went on to rule for 27 years. Why did he rule for 27 years? Easy. It's because a bunch of multinational corporations that funded the whole coup, he was in line with them. Now, here's the thing. One, I'm not sure if that guy's from DRC or Cameroon. He's one of my favorite TikToker. I mean, the man is a historical genius. He points me in the direction of a lot of historical subjects that I, you know, just yap about here. One thing he pointed out was that, there is a phrase that says, that the best way to describe African leadership is someone that works at the zoo. who keeps complaining about zoo animals biting them, but then they don't want to just, you know, keep the distance between them and those animals. Let me explain. This is something that was also, you know, during, you know, is it ISCO? The inaugural organization with regards to sort of like trying to find out what's wrong with African leadership that was held in Rwanda. ISCA. That was held in Rwanda this year. ISCA. ISCA Africa. And that is for International Security Conference on Africa. One thing the guys are pointing out, and one thing that Kagame pointed out is, now, the event they had this year was to just talk about, how can we do things the African way without external influence? Now, how can we, because external influence has basically stood between a lot of, between the growth of a lot of African countries. Like a lot of African countries would have been independent, would have achieved economic independence. Like I've just given, tried to draw a parallel between Thomas Sankara of Burkina Faso and Lim Kuan Yew of Singapore. They all had the same dream. I don't know if these guys met. They all knew that, you know what, for my country to achieve, achieve independence, I need skills. Skills that for Burkina Faso, Cuba already opened its doors. That, you know what, whatever skills you want, we have schools, we have the education system that can actually give you those skills. All you just have to do is, select your people, put them on a plane and bring them here. Bring them over and our doors are open. Now, that's where the whole, that's where the real heartbreak now comes in. Now, the whole story of the, what is now called as, offense of Thomas Sankara. And there's a documentary out there about it, but it's just the documentary is, the whole thing is in French. You have to put in mind Burkina Faso is a French-speaking country. But there's one with English subtitles, but I don't like subtitles. It makes your eyes squinty. Because some of us just want to watch this whole subtitle thing. Broken Dreams. Burkina's offend school in Castro's Cuba. Now, if you're wondering why a lot of Africans revere Fidel Castro and why a lot of Western guys actually don't like Fidel Castro, actually spend a large part of his life trying to kill him. He's a very tough guy who had the right woman. That part you'll have to look on your own. Because he had a woman that was, the American intelligence services tried to recruit to kill him. But she didn't. Now, that is a woman that did not betray the husband. Because some of you people that I know, as long as money is on the table, you know very well his behind is cooked. Okay, fine, you'll just cry a bit, shed some tears here and there. Then here comes, your paycheck from the intelligence guys and you throw in inheritance and you're good. Get yourself Benten there, problem solved. Now, the story that is not told is that 35 years ago, Burkina Faso's radical leader. Now, this is coming out of Ghana. That's why I just like African sources. Finally, thank heavens, I didn't have to read that from Encyclopedia Colonizer. Sorry, Britannica. 35 years ago, Burkina Faso's radical leader, Thomas Sankara, sent 600 youngsters, most of them orphans, to train in Cuba. A scheme he declared that that would steer the country to a new dawn. And steer the country. His goal was to steer the country. Not just him and his family, which was, it turns out, his homeboy right next to him, basically had the same. And by the way, there's one of the people that was very instrumental into making all these things possible was the guy that turned around and backstabbed him. And that was, now, by the way, Thomas Sankara was not the only person that was backstabbed by, by Compaoré. Oh no. These 600 students, these guys faced hell. Now, today's scores of this, scores of those who were enrolled in this scheme have died before their time, and some by suicide, and many have mental health problems. Because even when they came back with the qualifications that they gained in Cuba after a long struggle, they could not get jobs. Because their qualifications was quote unquote unrecognized. That is under the administration of the guy that helped implement the program. Jesus. And you all like to say, oh no, white people are the reason why we are poor. You know, colonialism, Europe. That is true, but we are not looking in the mirror here. We are not looking in the mirror here. Like, Gabriel puts it, he likes to use the word enablers. If we are being taken advantage of, we are enabling them to take advantage of us. That's because a lot of us have very narrow-minded dream of, I just want to, as long as me and my family are comfortable, we are good. I don't care about anyone else. Now, there are a lot of Compaorés here, everywhere this day. You know, if Compaoré was, if Compaoré was in office, I would be saying, yo, I don't think I'll be able to travel to Burkina Faso because of this, all the things that I'm saying. But now it's Ibrahim Traoré, so we are good. Because he'll be like, why are we banned from traveling here? It's because I cooked one of your former president who backstabbed one of your former president. It's like, oh yeah, come here. Now, un momento, s'il vous plaît. Now, where was I? Within a year, Sankara's dream of immersing marginalized children in Burkina's revolution was wrecked after he was cut down by assassins. Today's cause of those ones have gone for obviously mental health problems, and others live in limbo, aching out a life despite gaining qualifications in Cuba that their home country does not recognize. Jeez. You see, when you read things like this, you begin to understand why, for a lot of people in Burkina Faso and a lot of Africans, both at home and diaspora, they don't care how the current president of Burkina Faso came to power. Because people that have been voted in democratically wise for 27 years have not done a fraction of what he's been able to do in less than 2 years. Now, there are two problems with that. One, a bunch of power-hungry guys in the military will start using that as an example to seize power for them and their homies. Two, democracy is in front of our eyes being rendered useless. Because, well, it turns out, I know why Western guys like democracy. Not because of, not because of human rights, although democracy comes with human rights. The reason why a lot of Western guys, not the citizens, well, forget those ones, the guys that are in power, the reason why they like democracy, Anguena, the reason why they like democracy is because democracy, in a democratic society, power is supposed to change every now and then, every 5 years. So, in other words, if a president they don't like is in office today, they know that in 5 years, chances are very high that that president is gonna be gone, and they can for that 5 year period they can prep their own puppet and then give them unlimited funding so they can win next election. So it has nothing to do with with democratic values and human rights. That, ladies and gentlemen, is for you and I, citizens ourselves. That is our burden ourselves. If he just said, you know what, we're just waiting for democratic guys, for Western guys to bring us democracy. No, they won't. There are few people that believe in democracy. If you read Noam Chomsky's work, he's a firm believer in democracy. But he's nowhere near the power structure. You see, that's the problem. Political wise, Noam Chomsky would be an excellent foreign, foreign office representative or foreign statesman for the US. But he's nowhere near the power structure. And economic wise, Richard Wolff and Jeffrey Sachs would make excellent economists, in my point of view. But they are nowhere near the power structure. What you have now, both political and economically, a bunch of guys that you have at the top are those ones that are so selfish, they have billions and billions and billions of dollars and still making policies that makes them billions of dollars by taking by taking money from people on the ground that can barely afford bread. So, moral of the story, if you want to live long in the power game, you have got to be a selfish idiot. Now you have, start from there. Because if you're one of those people that care about everyone, we all know how that ends. We all know how it ended for our Lord and Savior. We all know how it ended for Thomas Sankara. We all know how it ended for Chris Hani. We all know how it ended for Patrice Lumumba. We all know how it ended for Suko Ture. We all know how it ended for Abraham Lincoln. We all know how it ended for John F. Kennedy. We all know how it ended for a lot of things. Actually, a lot of people both at home and abroad. Which is just painful. Now, let me just, gloss through your story and then we come back to. Now, Sankara, the Marxist-Leninist, instinctively to Cuba and Fidel Castro. Now, Sankara came to power in 1983 at the age of 33. Turns out the Burkina Faso have been having young leaders for a very long time now. At the age of 33, an idealistic army captain who wanted to eradicate poverty in his country and challenge the imperialist world leader. Well, that didn't end well. The Marxist-Leninist turned instinctively to Cuba and Fidel Castro. Now, this, we're talking about the 1980s. The Soviet Union is, the Soviet Union is in decline. And the animosity between the Soviet Union and the US in terms of global dominance has been going on for a while now. And what you see happening here is that, the US is on the rise, power wise. The Soviet Union is in decline. Now, fast forward to 1990, during the fall of the Soviet Union. From 1990 until a couple of years ago, when China started, popping up, positioning itself as a contender economic wise, the US was the sole dominating global power. And basically after the Soviet Union fell in 1990, okay, the world was the US playground. They could go anywhere and do anything because no one would do anything again to stop them. And now that's why you see that 1990 for Soviet Union, 1991, Operation Desert Storm. I mean, they had Laos, they had Vietnam, but they've been doing it for a very long time now. Coming back to the African part of the discussion, Sankara had the idea of sending a contingent of students to be trained in Cuba, potentially, ideologically, and professionally. And Stanislas Damiba, who was 12 at the time, he made the journey. He's one of those people that made the journey. The group consisted of 600 children and adolescents aged 12 to 16, including 135 girls. See, gender equality is not something that's new to us. We've been doing this for a while. Meanwhile, the guys that want to lecture us on gender equality, on the other hand, have never had a female president, not to mention a female pope. No sense. This, you see, we've had kings and queens. that have ever ruled this continent. Why don't we know about that? Because the history is not down for us to read. And if you have to look for it, you're going to have to dig your nails off. But if you listen to Mind the Gap, then you don't have to dig your nails off. Because, well, I get paid to do that for you. Now, on their return to Burkina Faso, Faso said Sankara, they would be a spearhead, a generation hardened in doctrine and trained in badly needed skills. Sankara visited Cuba in 1987, and Sankara came to shake our hands, according to one of the surviving guys by the name of Damiba, one of the surviving guys in the, by the name of beneficiaries of this scheme, the name of Damiba. Sankara came to shake our hands, one by one, and said to us, "Work hard and come to build our nation." But a month later, the father of the revolution was murdered, and it came out of the blue. For 3 days, we were too stunned to eat or drink, said Damiba. And everything changed. Our six supervisors were recalled to the country and replaced by others. He said the rectification of Sankara's leftist policies. Why does that sound? Leftist policies and policies had already started. Burkina Faso, Burkina's new government decided to have us only do short studies lasting a maximum of 3 years after high school diploma. Then a monthly scholarship of 100, about 86 euros a month was cut off, dealing a further blow to their chances. To their chances. Only 33 of the 600 were able to gain a university education, because as soon as a homeboy best friend came to power, he decided to change supervision, change the model, and, cut over funding. And when you cut funding, you are not helping. But that's exactly what he did. But was he really in charge? No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. Now, again, why did I bring up the US and the Soviet Union? Because this was the height, these guys were biggest enemies. Now, the Soviets wanted to push their ideology in terms of politics, in terms of leadership, aka, call it communism. Call it communism. And the West was at the same time spreading, democracy. Now, these two ideas are the ones that you see, you find that they are the ones that was behind the reasons, behind the chaos, basically across the planet. Is the war between North and South Vietnam, North and South Korea, and you have the wars in Cambodia, Laos, and all these places. One side that was that the West calls the enemy was either on the side of China or Russia. So it all comes down to quote unquote democracy and quote unquote communism all over again. So that's one thing that you see there. It's just two different spheres of the planet holding two different spheres of two different leadership ideologies, and they all want to spread those ideologies to different places faster than their opponents can. And now you have a problem. When a leader that is pro-Eastern political ideology takes over power, the Western guys assassinate his behind. And then so they can install their leader that is pro-them and anti the other side, and then make them rich and make them rule for 27 years.
Unlock your future with Goldstone Software Engineering Institute. 2025 intake for June, July is open for certificate and diploma in information technology, software engineering, human resources management, business administration, and various short courses such as AutoCAD, computer literacy skills, A+, and PC technician, etc. Goldstone Software Engineering Institute's courses are fully accredited by NQA and courses are very affordable. Goldstone Software Engineering, equipped with modern facilities, and courses are offered by qualified professionals. Funding is available from NSFAF and local banks. For entry requirements and to apply, go to our website www.goldstone.com.na or email admission@goldstone.com.na. For more information, call Anaria at 081-6576-365 or Aaron at 081-6354-851 or 061-234186.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station. 29 minutes left to the hour of 11. Moving on. So just to wrap that, very infuriating story, many survivors of the 600 students that were sent to Cuba with the, that were sent to Cuba via that scheme, Thomas Sankara scheme, many survivors are unemployed or live from hand to mouth, and some of them are mentally unbalanced, and many are suffering psychologically. Same, but but not different. Phew, thank heavens. And The trial of Sankara's alleged assassins, including Compaoré, opened Ouagadougou in early October. Now, this was back in 2021. The apology was given in 2022. Remember, and now. Damiba said he was desperate to hear the truth, nothing but the truth from the case. We are victims, and President Compaoré is accountable, he said. We didn't shoot anyone. We're just innocent people, said one of the, beneficiaries. And then one of them said the bullet which killed Sankara killed many people by ricochet, including us. When you look at it from just a skills perspective, training and the spread of knowledge, especially one that is supposed to empower the country and develop it, Thomas Sankara had Lim Kuan Yew's dream to some degree. Lim Kuan Yew achieved that dream because his best friend did not backstab him. And by the way, he did tell a story of how they caught a lot of, a bunch of intelligence that were trying to influence their leadership. But then, one of the politicians that they were trying to bribe actually told, Lim Kuan Yew's government, and they investigated and put a stop to everything. Intelligence guys from governments that don't agree with you will always come. It doesn't matter whether you are pro-Eastern or pro-Western in terms of ideology. Intelligence will always show up. And the most aggressive ones are the Western guys. They are always going to show up and basically, try to find a chink in the armor, to use Steve Harvey's words. They will find, a gap in there. And there's always an idiot who is power hungry, who just cares about feeding themselves, not anyone else. So they will always find them. they always find them. History indicates they always find them. And when they do, they just give him, you know, well, you know, a jet and then promise him heaven and earth and tell him, well, if you can just help us backstab that guy, when we come to power, you are going to be rich beyond your wildest imagination. To be fair, they can make you rich beyond your wildest imagination. I mean, Mobutu Seseko built palaces from that, you know, after backstabbing one of his own. So the problem with Africa is not Europeans. The problem, the European influence, or more like any type of Western or Eastern influence, external influence is Africa's symptom. The biggest problem is Africans. I like it when we look ourselves in the mirror and go like, you know what? And you and look, I mean, I come across a bunch of videos where people just want to hate everything European, hate everything, I want to hate all white people. I want to hate all, I want to hate all white people. There's a white person who is as broke as you are. What they do? Look, if I was that broke guy in the middle of nowhere, that's the question I would ask you. What I do? Oh no, it was white people that overthrew. Dude, I'm a victim of the policies of the very same idiots that are causing chaos in your country. Believe me, hating me is not going to help you. It's like, it's like a bunch of Europeans right now that I don't like black people because of immigration. Wait, what? I'm just sitting somewhere in the capital of my country. So hating me for immigration? Really? I mean, that's going to work against you because you'll just be giving yourself a heart attack. For one, I don't even know who the heck you are. And now, in the very same way, you have an African somewhere in Africa who is hating white people. And there are white people somewhere in the middle of Eastern Europe that have no clue who you are. Now, that's not how I kill my heart. Now, my hate is more directed. Instead of hating all white people, I actually hate is like one guy points out in, the Deadbeat Dad movie, that hating someone for something they did to you is like you drinking poison and then expecting them to die. You're just going to end up dying and they will keep living. So you hating someone for something bad they did to you, it's more disadvantageous to you than to them. Because it's putting a strain on your heart, you idiot. I know, it's very tempting. It's very, very, very tempting. It's one of those things that makes me respect psychologists. Really. So, Africa's problem is here at home. Like, this whole hating for everyone thing, I actually, not a huge fan of this whole thing of, I hate the whole tribe or I hate the whole race. No. Never advocating for that. Now, and also the whole, with what's going on in Palestine, but thanks to the Israeli government and the military, you have a lot of Jewish hate. I hate these guys going on, all over the internet. The question I keep asking is, first of all, I really want to join you in the, sure, let's go ahead, let's hate them. But I have a list of Jews I respect. One of them is a 95 years old lawyer that helped the chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court make a legal decision that led to the arrest warrants of, of the Israeli and Hamas leaders. He's a Jew. Now that guy I respect. Now me saying I hate all Jews, what did he do? He's not Smoltrich, the finance minister of Israel right now, who is a very, okay, now calling that guy right wing is one thing. I mean, that's just a whole different point of view. Now, and then there's that woman that was featured in the documentary that kept, referring to Palestinians with all types of colorful names. You see, now that one you can hate. But Noam Chomsky, what did he do? Ian Pappy, what did he do? Norman Finkelstein, what did he do? Okay, he doesn't speak like that, but he has a very funny voice. Now, there are a lot of Jews out there that has nothing to do with what the Israeli government is doing in Palestine. So, hating a Jew over what the Palestinian, over what the Israeli government is doing in Palestine, I mean, even if I was that Jew, I'd be like, what'd I do? No, because Benjamin Netanyahu made, okay, now, first of all, I'm not related to the guy. It's like, you know, it's like me going to Europe and then I run into people that hate me because they don't like what Museveni is doing in Uganda. Like, don't get me wrong. Well, we're all black and we are from Africa. But here's the thing. Yoweri Museveni, Helmut Mahongo. Two different guys. One of them filthy rich. The other one is really broke. AKA moi. So this whole, you know, that's why I really don't subscribe to the whole idea of let's hate everyone. Nah, for me, that's just the dumbest socially dividing thing you can come up with. Let's hate all white people for colonialism. You do realize a bunch of white people were shoved on a boat and then they were sent to Australia. It was a prison colony. Those white people will be like, okay, first of all, the very same people that caused chaos in your country caused chaos in my family. It was greed of royal families that led to each and every single war in Europe. So it was basically a bunch of small, it's basically a bunch of rich white guys that caused a lot of chaos that made basically Europe unbearable for a lot of white people. A lot of them, hopped on ships. One of them, known as the Mayflower, is how white people showed up in what is known today as the United States of America in the first place. It's not because they were running away from an over-civilized and they wanted some under-civilization. No! They were running from greed. It was white on white, using religion as an excuse. And now, those people, by the way, those people that ran away, this is something that George Carlin likes to point out, that hypocrisy, the United States was founded on hypocrisy. This was a bunch of people that wanted to be free from British influence. They wanted to be free and own slaves all at the same time. They didn't want to be slaves, but they did not mind owning slaves. Now, this whole thing, when you just look at it, you begin to realize that the problem is not race or tribe. It's greed. Actually, the problem is race. That race is not black, white, or Jewish, Asian, or the race that's a problem is the human race. The race that's a problem is the human race. And that race is filled with people that are very, 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 very greedy. And those ones that are greedy, they want to get to acquire more and more, irrespective of how many are suffering. So, there, misery solved. Your problem is not white people. Your problem, white people, is not black people. And Palestine's problem is not a Jewish problem. No, it's an Israeli government problem. Actually, there are a lot of Jews within Israel that are, that are known critic of what's going on in Palestine. So again, that's why I don't subscribe to the whole idea of let's hate everyone. That's me. You do you. Just remember that hating someone, I can't believe I forgot that quote. Just remember that hating someone because of something bad they did to you is like you drinking poison and expecting them to die. Well, you are just gonna kick the bucket. Let's take a break, and on the other side, we talk about the e-villager newspaper, how you can subscribe to it if you haven't already, and what is in it for today. Really?
Experience the best of freedom and flexibility with Flex. Perota's Flex Bundles now offer you even more freedom of choice so that you can enjoy quality internet on the go or at home. Choose between fiber with mobile LTE or Sky-Fi with mobile LTE packages, starting from as little as 650 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT. You get more for less with Flex. Visit Paratus.Africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide. Always prepare.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Mukungulele kwa tuko maikuto amina apili kwa mavuchat.
14 minutes left to the hour of 11. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. And as always, I'm here until the hour of 11. And that is in 14 minutes. Actually, I should be. Okay. Yeah. So the e-villager, the 11th of June 2020. Five, you have a proper grain storage can improve food security. Now, there's this thing called innovation. Don't get me wrong, Africans, I love our way of doing things, but we have got to learn to innovate. When it comes to preservation of culture and pretty much everything, Africans, we're very good at that. We are very good at that. So we are basically with the idea that everything that I know, I have to teach the exact same thing, no editing, to my children. And then their children teach that to their children, and their children teaches that to their children. That's why my ancestors 5 generations ago were crossing the river, the Kavango River, with a canoe. And I'm still crossing the river with a canoe. So at no point did someone say, I bet we can make this more stable so that it's not easily capsized by a crocodile. So that it's not, actually crocodiles don't capsize boats. It's, I learned how to swim before I went to kindergarten, and there was no kindergarten then, how to row a canoe from a very early age. All stories that I have heard of canoes being capsized, it's either because it was filled to the brim, because people really know how to take, really know how to take chances, and when it's windy, obviously waves are going to become like super high, so it's not safe unless you are very good at rowing a canoe. But I would not recommend that. So I'm just saying, 5 generations down the line, there is not a single one of us that sat there and said, what problems are we facing when it comes to using this form of transport called a canoe? Well, we are facing problems like when it's too windy, we can't cross. Because, that thing is just going to fill up with water before you get to the middle of the river. And at that point, it's kind of difficult to swim when you have waves, waves slapping you and, also high current. And, throwing panic there, it's not going to end well. Why am I bringing that up? It's because on the front page of the e-villager, which you can subscribe to by sending the word subscribe via WhatsApp to 08120. 4144, yeah. Or 81200-4144. And please do save the number so you are not a stranger. On the front page of the e-villager, you have more... The best advice... who gave this advice? Yeah, look. Pate Moshela, Lukolo, bravo. Grain storage can improve food security, analysts say. Household and commercial producers are urged to invest in proper storage facilities to sustain the shelf life and quality of their grain to improve food security. One question that has been asked was that if, take for example, there was any type of apocalypse today, how long would you survive on the food that you have in your kitchen? Boy, oh boy. Boy, I would be screwed, because most of the food, most of the food that we have are very reliant on electricity. So that means if the power is off, your chocolate is going bad. Cereals, that's one thing I like about cereals. Oh, cereals are just, they're just gonna be there chilling. And, although the cereals will just load your body with a bunch of, you know, artificial colorant and artificial sweetness. Now, canned food is the go-to. When it comes to storage, canned food has always been the go-to. And biltong. How can I forget? Okay, at this point, and these guys need to make me the ambassador. One painful thing that I come to realize every time that I enjoy that very nice delicacy, aka biltong, is that, it's the oldest form of food, or more like meat preservation. You salt it and then dry it. And it's gonna last forever and ever and ever. Now, if you have honey, even better. Because honey is just naturally known to be very stubborn when it comes to spoiling. Honey does not spoil easily, if ever. There were bottles of, when was that? 2009, 2015, somewhere in this, somewhere in the 2000s. Honey was found in jars in Egypt, dating back to ancient Egypt. It was still in perfect condition for something that has been sitting there for about, what, like 3,000 years? Like, wow. I mean, I wouldn't eat it, but according to experts that found it, that it looked in fairly good condition for something that has been sitting in a jar for 3,000 years plus. Now, there's a group in Kenya that is made up of local farmers, and their goal is to preserve. I think they formed an organization. Just forgot the name of the organization. Their goal is to preserve seeds. Now, here's the thing: it's very simple to look at seeds and go like, I mean, they're just seeds. What's the problem? Seeds translates to food. And was that Thomas Sankara again who said, whoever controls your food controls you? Which is why a lot of, companies like Monsanto, they are just into seeds. And it's a multi-million dollar company. They were not into seeds. But now, they were into a lot of questionable things, but before they settled on seeds. But the point is, there's a reason why you have multi-million corporations that are pouring billions and billions of dollars in seeds. Because, and by the way, there's a seed vault in northern Norway. One of the biggest bankers on the planet is for seeds. So now, for those of you that go like, you know what, this is traditional food, I don't like it. One day you'll buy the seeds of those traditional food from Bill Gates. And you'll be like, no, why are they selling at us our own tradition? Because you didn't save it, you idiot. Because you were so caught up into sushi and, fagua or whatever the type of goose liver that's eaten in some parts of France. And by the way, that is the most expensive type, one of the most expensive types of food. But the way that it's made will just show you, oh my God, boy oh boy. The geese are forcefully fed and then fattened and then kill them on time to take the liver so that they can sell. Jesus. And yeah, there's also a type of a diet. I'm not sure if it's still eaten, if it's still eaten or it's now against the law, because it should be, where there's sometimes of small birds are sort of like, slaughtered by drowning them inside. Is it drowning them or feeding them or dry? Something like drowning them on whiskey and then frying them so they can taste all whiskey. Oh, but you have got to be kidding me. Really? You can't just cook pap? Like, no, it turns out when you have money and you have eaten all types of dishes, you try to come up with the most diabolical ways that you can find food to eat. Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to storage, let's face it, grain storage, the traditional ones, are not going to cut it. That group in Kenya that I'm trying, that I'm trying to use as an example, what they do is they came up with a way to save seeds. Oh, of course they have, they have a seed storage being taken, they have the central government, being responsible for some, seed storage and stuff. But this organization decided, the government is going to do their thing, and we will also just do our thing, which I think is a brilliant idea. You can't put all your eggs in, your eggs in one basket. Because what happens if there's some type of algae that grows in the government food storage? Just a few weeks ago, we found out that some drought food being distributed somewhere in the Kavango region is full of mice remains. I don't know, get fired. So what they do is they take glass jars, like mason jars, but I don't, wait, do we have those ones? Okay, how about this? You take the ones with the traditional mayonnaise jars, and then they wash them clean, and then they dry them. They take all their seeds and then they put them, then they seal them shut. I don't know what type of adhesive they use, because when it comes to that type of preservation, adhesives can come in handy. Now, for those of you that are wine drinkers, like yours truly here, then you know that you'll find there are types of wine that you find that there are those ones that have there are those ones that are corked. Clean your mind. It's closed with a piece of wood. And then after that, they coat the top part in wax. It's sort of like molten candle, and then they just dip it so that to prevent any type of air from getting in and spoil the wine. It turns out, my Kenyan brothers and sisters decided, they take seeds, put it in a glass jar, then close it shut. And then just, hit the jar. Just expose the jar to, to enough heat. But then, don't boil it. Chances of anyhow it's gonna crack. That's done to kill every microorganism that's enclosed within there. Because if you don't do that, then it's gonna spoil everything. So, storage, we really need to work on our storage. We have got to be innovative, because we don't have the luxury of farming every year anymore. The rain is just not going to come every year. So when the rain comes, like it did this year, it's important to farm as much as possible so you can cultivate as much as possible, because there's no guarantee that next year we're going to have the same level of rainfall. So there you go. Beverage production and export declines in March 2025. It's winter. Who wanna get drunk in winter?
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you. Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just 300 Namibian dollars a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit Paratus.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always
prepare, Paratus. No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station. The time is a minute past the hour of 11. Where were we? Food storage. So we have got to be come up with ways to save food in, for an extended period of time, because we don't have the luxury of an annual good rainfall. Otherwise, well, we'll just be complaining about, well, drought relief every now and then, until we figure out this storage. Because the question is, for how long are we going to cry drought relief? So, my God, that's a painful one. Very, 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 very painful. Now, beverage production export declines in March 2025. Namibia's beverage sector experienced a notable decline in production and trade during March 2025, according to the latest report from the Namibia Statistics Agency. Okay, guys, come on. It's winter in the southern hemisphere. Because, well, like how the weather was yesterday. Like, yeah, no. I think that's where wine comes in handy. But that's me. Financial literacy a must in Namibian schools. Now, as Namibia grapples with rising youth unemployment, household debt, and a poor saving culture, experts are calling for the urgent inclusion of financial literacy in the national school curriculum. You see, back in 2013, and this is, I can't believe I'm saying this again, but I have to sing it again. Back in 2013, I think it was 2013. That was, that gentleman said. Back in 2013, the procurement policy unit conducted the financial literacy level of Namibians. They found that financial literacy wise, we are good. Our financial literacy is very good in this country. One thing the gentleman pointed out was that what we lack is financial discipline. Translation. That's actually why I learned the difference. I thought it was the same thing. Translation. Financial literacy is, is the education that, about money that teaches you what not to buy and what to buy. Financial discipline is one that actually, that equips you with the knowledge of, of knowing when to buy what. Because most of us, in the middle of the month, I'm using my transport money to buy KFC. Now, that's financial stupidity. Now, look, it's not that you don't know that you shouldn't be chopping your transport money. You know very well that you'll be chopping your transport money. Now, if you are gambling your rent money, what you need is our Lord and Savior, not financial education. So, implementing financial literacy is a good, in schools is a good thing, because the world of finance is a very, is shrouded in mystery for a lot of us that don't speak economics. Which is why a lot of people had to explain, you know what, a repo rate has nothing to do with rape, relax, it's money. And now we have to explain to a lot of people you know, the difference between interest rate, inflation and all that. And now we have to Google everything, and Google will bring you a lot of things that, but it's just the absolute. So, implementation of financial literacy type of education in the school curriculum. That's a brilliant idea. But let's face it, there are adults outside the class, including teachers, that are drowning in debt. What do we do about those? That's an interesting question, which I'm going to leave with you as I pack my bags and leave you with yours truly, Honorable Madam Helmut Mahongo. Until tomorrow, same time, same place. You all have a good one.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something the media will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Mukungu lelewa tuko maikuto wami na apiri kwa mavucha aziva. Mwere kisema ep ato lokasi nchavu kamso, zakare liferire, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera azali vuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba ep, mwikutwe kulibusie mba santo ye mwietuna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha, miencha farizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa ep ilini, kukopanya naha, nikuhasa nyali njira mlimu. Zengi, zefu mani hamasi fera sesifa ep ya imba, ize tatama. Elsin, Ehangano, Oshiherero, Omaemuriro, Catholic, Simani Kakarunga, Africans, Nizengu, Zengata. Muluri zeze kachenu, haiva mtavira kulisifera sa kirekea mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalite.com. Muzive ni kufuma na imba kachenu, mkwana kuifuma na fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.